So part two of that question, wouldn't it be good if this newly formed, not even fully formed, Housing Trust Fund Board had an opportunity to weigh in on the direction we were taking?
Oh, absolutely. I would think, okay, and so if I can answer where I think you're going with this, is that as we've kind of discussed, is that we would start with having Leanne issue an RFP that would include the consultant helping us, the county, to determine what would be the best way to set up a task force and who should be on it. Is that okay? I think that's where you're headed, so that the Housing Trust Fund would be part of the formation process.
Yeah, so I agree with that, but I'm actually more fundamental even than that. Should the Housing Trust Fund Board have an opportunity to take a look at the lay of the land and weigh in on what the appropriate thing for Story County to do is?
We can do that. Okay.
And then third one is, and then finally to the third question, do you know if IFA is making any recommendations to local governments about what they do with housing studies right now pending the release of their information?
I'm going to look at Brenda or Leanne at that, but I think Brenda might have that information. I tried to let people do their job.
And I started with the compliment, and I'll do it again. I'm very collaborative, and I'm highly appreciative.
Brenda Dreyer, and I work for the Ames Chamber and Economic Development Commission as their Director of Workforce Solutions. I also serve on the Board of Directors for the Story County Housing Trust Fund. And so I will do my best to really convey where I see this board in the process. So we have just actually officially in the last couple months been approved, actually in October, We're approved as a countywide housing trust fund. So that was one step in the process. The next step is to position an application to actually receive a funding allocation, which we're really in the midst of doing. We've generally laid out parameters in terms of where we will focus in the coming year, and we continue to work through getting the organization really at a strong formation so we can consider taking that first allocation. So much of our work as a board right now is kind of tedious in terms of trying to make sure that we're getting that foundation. How does our first RFP requesting application for funding support look? So our intention with the first round of funding is really to focus it in two areas, and that is to work with agencies and local governments to provide assistance to owner-occupied, knowing that sometimes the most affordable option for somebody is to stay in the home they're at. So working with agencies, the faith community, local communities, to actually get these funds out across the county to do just that. The second focus is rental, and that's a little bit more difficult because having a model to follow there, we don't have that. So really, to the fact, and I need to applaud Supervisor Olson, because had she not talked a little bit about the discussion of housing trust, and we would have never ever heard that IFA was coming out with these studies. So beyond saying we were anxious to see that, we're just, like I said, this is really only our second official meeting, but it was a good opportunity to give you a lay of the land and maybe an understanding of the discussion that's going around our board table. And we are looking to expand the board, making sure that we have a more geographical balance to the board, we can't have any more than 50% of the board serve in an elected role. So at some point in time, it would be good to put just that conversation on the table and maybe have that discussion. But right now, other than to just hear that the information was coming, We didn't have much dialogue.
And so I'm hearing that, IFA is informally telling local governments your best course of action is to hold off until you see these numbers come out and then make determinations.
I would say I haven't heard that from IFA, but it was a pretty telling statement to me. Housing is it goes right alongside economic development and workforce solutions. That is kind of my personal interest in all of this, and appreciate again Laura's passion to this. But what I heard from the really administrator that we have engaged for a period of 2 years until we get this organization on the ground is the Polk County Housing Trust Fund. So they are administering for us, and it was really their director that made the comment that he has told others that have asked him about housing trust fund studies is that hold off until which time you see the data that IFA is presenting to bring out. And I've seen, again, thanks to Leanne for finding some basics of it. On paper, it looks like it's hitting at a lot of things that we have discussed. And it'll be very interesting if indeed they meet their target of having it available February. I think it'll be a good place for us to dig in, look at, and then see is this information provide what we need and can it get us a good start on things.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely, and let me just affirm what I think I just heard you say. Conceptually, I find this to be outstanding. I think that conceptually this is something that we really ought to be considering and we ought to be prepared to act on. That said, I believe for three reasons the timing today and probably for the next 8 to 12 months is too soon. Is one, we don't have a fully formed local Story County Housing Trust Fund Board yet. We need that. We need them to be fully formed and operational and be able to weigh in on these things. Two, we know that the City of Ames numbers were at least 12 months away and realistically more like 18 to 24 months away. And then finally, we don't know what's in these IFA numbers yet, so we don't even know what we would be needing to supplement. And until we see that, which they're saying February, and if they move like most government agencies, February doesn't mean February, it means June. Until we see those three things, I find this to be an outstanding concept, well thought out, very collaborative, should be commended, but it's not time today to say yes to this. It's time to say, let's hold this for 9 months to a year and then come back and revisit. Marty, that's my view.
Could I give another piece of information? As the discussion was moving forward about this housing needs assessment and also the next item up, which is a pilot program, the discussion has been that if we could have both the assessment in best opportunity by the end of next fiscal year, and then the results from the 1 year of the pilot program, that would seem to gel very nicely. So could I offer you a compromise of July, of readdressing this in July, because then it would be on the same fiscal year, and the thought is we'd have a pretty good analysis between the housing survey assessment being done about June of 2019, and we'd be headed into the end of the first year of the home.
Sure. And July would be fine with me, Laura, for us to revisit the concept and see what kind of solidity we have. I wasn't trying to put a date certain. I wasn't trying to say that December 5th of next year we'll deal with this. I was trying to say that based on the information that I believe we have and where everything is right now, today, we're not ready.
Right.
And if that means coming back in July, I'd be fine with that. And we'll see if we're ready then. We'll see what information we have.
Actually, if I actually made your February deadline, which would be a shocker, I don't, I understand, but you know, maybe even a few months early. But
if you accept that the three questions that I pose,
right.
I want a solid, functioning Story County Housing Trust Fund. It's not even fully formed yet. I mean, I want it fully formed and operational.
Now that sounds
and
like it's 18 months background?
Well, I don't know that, but they need to be fully funded. We need to know where Ames numbers are. You're saying December of next year. I'm suggesting that I think it's going to be longer than that. We need to have some feel for where that is. And finally, we need to have time to see what's actually in the IFA report,
right?
Because we don't know what we're looking for until we see what's really in there. And so when those three things happen, whether it's May or July or next December, that's when I think it's time for us to deal with this again.
Okay, so if everybody meets where they think they are, we'd be having Ames to be able to predict more likely when they're going to have their numbers available that are Vanessa's generating, because those are the numbers.
Whatever numbers we need, I don't know that I can commit to that for us. Which whatever numbers we need to make this a solid study.
Okay, and that, I think, is the first step there to see what they're even producing to give us an idea. Okay, we may be discussing this in increments two or three different times before we do, but I'm encouraged that it appears that we're going to move forward with the next step. We're just not going to have...
I really like the concept that you presented. I really, really like it. I think we're putting the cart ahead of the horse. I'm going to talk about that again here in a minute, but I just think we're one step ahead. And I'd like us to have more solid information before we move on. But again, I like the concept.
I don't disagree. You have all of these things that we're discussing, Story County Housing Board, IFA, and City of Ames, are all moving.
Right.
I mean, we're not waiting for somebody to take this up and start it. You know, this is already moving. It may be cold comfort, but it should give you some hope that we move there to get ahead, because we don't know what we don't know. And I would think that, geez, why would we try to put time and dollars against something that would be proven to be not useful? And I don't think that we're asking for an unreasonable... Yeah, certainly, if they think if you can get it to us in February, you revisit the conversation with the information provided. I suspect they don't, but then I'd like to hope. But I guess, Rick, I don't have to say much to this, and I'm going to even try to hold myself to that. It works. We do this, and we go out, when you do it, when I do it, when you do it, this is part of what we do. When you ask about what a Story County supervisor does, housing is a very oversight component to our jobs. And the thing is that we're bringing this to us not only on this item, but to the next. I'll tell you about how much we value it and how we'd like to see positive outcomes in a different community, because every community has a different version of what this looks like.
Yeah, and so Marty, I think you're 100% right. Lars, I think we're long overdue in getting to this. We just need to have the right foundation, in my view, in order to do it. So for today, I'm suggesting that we deny this with the understanding that when we have more information, when we have more of a foundation, that we're going to come back and revisit this as soon as we feel like we have that more information.
Okay.
Do we have a motion one way or another?
It's Morris's item, taking into account what you said, I would have her make it.
Okay. I move that we table this. How's tabling, or you want to deny? I move that we do not move forward with this recommendation at this time.
Yep.
Period.
Okay. Motion to deny at this point in time. Marty.
I would second.
Motion, and again, underscore conceptually so many good things in here. Okay. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It's denied for now. Next is discussion consideration of Story County New Construction and Substantial Rehabilitation Housing Grant Pilot Program. Morris.
Okay, can I go back just to ask one question follow-up? Is there any problem with this board when we continue to gather information and talk to others about the housing study assessment as we move forward to getting the information to bring back when it's time again?
You have full authority to represent Loris Olson, even Supervisor Loris Olson, however you see fit, gathering information, talking to people. Where we ran into trouble today is it appeared you were representing this entire board, and you can't do that. And as long as you're clear on the action we just took, we denied the study.
Correct.
But with the caveat that we denied it for now while we're looking for more. more information. And I think you're completely empowered to try to gather that information, try to convey that information. You just can't say that once we have that information, we're going forward with a housing study because we don't know that yet.
Got it.
Is that reasonable?
Okay. All right. Super. Now, sorry.
We're talking about substantial rehabilitation housing grant.
Okay. This has been another thing I believe we've all heard as we've gone out and be speaking about, you know, there are so many different needs in the county, and I wanted to explore if we began to participate with actual a financial component into housing in the county, what might it look like? And as we've been dealing with this, I say we, being Brenda and Leanne at certain points, okay, to discuss, you know, what would this type of how would we bring forward something as a pilot basis? Leanne said, bring it forward as a pilot basis. And, you know, she's been providing how the framework of how that would do. And she's got quite the background, as you know, in affordable housing administration and creating these type of programs. Brenda brings the connection of going around out in the communities all the time. And the communities outside of Ames, housing is economic development. Okay, so as we all have worked to put together a program, then we pulled in Ethan last week to take a look at what might legally be possible and the wording on this. We want to let you know that this is a draft proposal. Still needs to be some tweaking as we move, if we approve today with forms, what would be laid on the forms, what would be more of a process. But in even my familiarity with the various different government-related housing programs that are out there already, it became clear to me that we don't want to duplicate anybody. I think what we want to do is offer up, focus on the need for housing and focus on a way to produce some incentives to get it done by more than just for a certain income group or for just a certain large number of acres or large number of units, okay? And so what is put before you today is a lot of different feedback, including discussions last week and realizations running into Scott D. Young in the hall last week as he's discussing something else with Marty, and Scott saying, well, we've got a mobile home park that we actually would like to fill. I mean, so this is saying these are the different types of possibilities and situations that are trying to be addressed right now out away from Ames in the county. Another thing about this is that we discussed very early on, and Leanne, you know, about who's going to administer it, and Leanne doesn't have time to do that, and, you know, how do we want to go ahead and see that these monies are correctly used, but not put a lot of layers on and not make people actually have their income qualified. Rather, you'll see in front of you is that there's some limits on the unit, overall cost of a housing unit. You see there's some limits on how many housing units can be financed in one area. And this is actually a grant program with some very clear eligible cost areas and some very clear ineligible cost areas that are designed to make it more streamlined, and yet the money's only going to government entities and private or like the housing trust fund type entities, etc. Now, what they choose to do with it, that was another thing we heard, is that sometimes when you're talking about the private investor out in Colo or maybe in Cambridge who wants to do one or two units, or they want to remodel the second story downtown for revitalization also, that this is not going to be a big contractor, right? So, but the money, may have to go through, the grant would go to a government or nonprofit agency, but the money may end up with a private contractor or a private individual, developer. Sorry, I had to think of that word. Okay. In the end run, because it's that kind of incentive. So we built in as much flexibility as possible to make it easy. And then the final component that I really agreed with that Leanne said is that we should make, especially for the first year of the pilot program, the decision about who gets the grant right up to the Board of Supervisors directly. All right, it's because we don't know what's going to come forward. We don't know what our priorities may be. Mm-hmm. So with that, I will be quiet.
So, again, I think a lot of, I appreciate you starting with, there were some concerns coming out of legal if we were to just to adopt this today. So I appreciate you noting that this is a draft that we can't approve today.
Right.
We could approve the concept of it. Again, three issues with this for us, and you talked me through. It seems to me that the item we just talked about, having all the information, having all the studies done, and knowing exactly where we can have the most impact on housing is a necessary component to be able to put in any good pilot project. Two, I don't know how important to you maintaining a balanced budget is or even having a reasonable budget, but it's really, really important to me. And we don't have $150,000 general fund dollars for FY19 without either making some cuts, $150,000, or really blowing up our budget by that amount. And three, the final one is who administers this. I didn't get a clear answer on that. I don't think it needs to be the county. And if it is the county, right now it's going to fall to Leanne Harder to administer this. It seems to me that this ought to be a program, if it were ever implemented, that would run through the fully formed Story County Housing Trust Fund Board, and the county would become a funder where the county would say, here is X number of dollars a year to administer this program that we agree to. And they become the administrator of it. So again, I come down there for three reasons. One, we don't know what we don't know at this point. And until we get the numbers from IFA, the numbers from Ames, and whatever supplemental information we might need to pull together, we aren't going to have that.
Okay, could I address some more?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
We specifically address this because we don't know what we don't know. The goal here, all right, in the flexibility is for us to determine exactly what types of needs are out there, not statistics that say, you know, there are so many people that are of an income level at 50% of our average for the county who could use this type of housing. We want to know exactly who would come in and apply for this and how they would use it on a basic basis. And that's an anecdotal rather than an empirical approach. Okay? So we feel that that needs to happen, and why it's on such a pilot basis is because this is the anecdotal, this is the individual that in a year should give us a better idea about who would use the money.
But doesn't the statistical give you, so the statistical, while it doesn't supply you down to the individual, it gives you silos of where you can go. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that X number of percent were in a residence that was too small for them, or in a residence that they can't afford to rent.
No.
We
approach it from the other way. We know there's a gentleman in Cambridge who already has rehabbed five or six units in a school down there. And is interested in rehabbing the rest for at least another six more units. That's six more housing units. And where does he show up on your statistics of who needs? This is a program based on who's actually interested. There has been just a very preliminary kind of, you know, let's talk over a sandwich or coffee discussion about doing one or two units on the second story over downtown Cambridge. There has been, you know, discussion about mobile homes. There's been, and when I say discussion, these are people reaching out to Marty, people reaching out to Brenda, some people have reached out to me about the idea of modular housing on infill lots. And your statistics don't address any of that, right? These are people who are actively considering types of housing to add, and this might be the incentive that helps them approach this in the next 20
years. But you don't think
years.
That impacts the statistics?
Well, of course it impacts the statistics, but that's why the amount is a small amount.
$150,000 is a small amount?
Well, as I began to enter first into this, I think, you know, I mentioned several times earlier at the board table that I wanted to actually look at us making TIF funds, you know, using some of the money from the wind farms. And there was definite informal feedback that that wouldn't be well received. All right. And there also, as we got into this process, Leanne pointed out that that would be a more complicated situation and that obviously we'd have to have legal weigh in more on that. I mean, so that for a pilot program, that was not the way to go at all. But for long term, we would want to look at this. Okay, I believe is the source of the funding. So if the dollar amount, $150,000 as presented here, is about 20 units, 20 to 23, if everybody got the maximum of $6,750. All right. It's more if some people are coming in and the rehab or where they can hit on the eligible costs come in less. Okay, so certainly bringing down the amount if you don't feel the budget is there. We all, as we will go through the budget process, as I learned last year and have observed in the past, get pretty nitpicky on some of these numbers. Okay, so I already know with some of the things that I've seen very limited out there about goals of various departments, that maybe I wouldn't set that as the same priority. But that's what we have. So there may not be $150,000 available by the time we get down to it. But still, we're looking at if we went ahead and went even and did 10 or 12 units the first year, which would be 10 would be $67,500, okay, to see the actual projects that people are considering out there.
So are you suggesting that this should be part of our budget conversation? So I took it to mean you were looking for approval today for the $150,000. You tell me that's not what you're looking for?
Well, in an ideal world, I'd have looked for it all, but we're up here now negotiating, okay, about what it might look like if we were to go forward. I guess what I would look like for today would be approval of the concept in some of the, but not the monetary amount. How's that? Okay. Or changes that suggest it go back to legal. All right, so that we don't approve the agreement today, but that if there are particular things that you would like to look at in addition to the dollar amount, are there other things that particularly are of interest to you or you think that we shouldn't put in here? Originally, the thought that this committee went through was excluding AIMS. Okay, all right. We ended up instead with saying that as the applications came forward, there'd be a preference. Okay, for communities under 8,000. And we went with 8,000 because they made it at 6,500. I mean, there's a clear delineation, but so we thought, well, all right, we'll just put a little higher. Also, early on, there was a discussion, mobile homes weren't included. Mobile modular homes weren't included. We added that. So if the concept is of something of that we could agree on, but not the dollar amount, based upon until after the budget, that would work also. We were looking we looked at the process of how this would go so that people would have enough time and notice. So if you go down to the process and timeline here, so it does say introduce program concept to Story County Board of Supervisors in December. Then in January, if by the end of December we're able, or early January, to go ahead and settle upon a program, create application forms and accompanying documentation. Then we go down in February. Leanne she thought it was very important. We solicit notice of intent letters that, you know, so that people have enough notice in advance to July 1 that we're doing this. So people who are already looking at projects but haven't broken ground yet would be eligible, that we would be able to maybe get some actual housing started on this for the pilot to come back to, do we know what the needs are and what the plans are out there. Actually, then the notice of intent letters would be due in April. And then the grant applications themselves we do June 1st. And then June is when we would review and identify the successful pilot applicants. Because at, one of our concerns was originally it was on a first-come, first-served basis. All right. Well, I believe, Rick, you just said to me a week or so ago, sometimes not the first, the first application isn't the best, or the first pilot or project isn't the best one. Okay, so there was also a concern that if we kind of handed out most of the money right away, and then another project came in, that we said, oh, well, that's really what we're looking at, and that's what we'd like to continue to pursue further down. And so this way is just let's let everybody apply at the same time, see what interest is out there. Okay.
Okay, but the problem there is we don't approve our budget. I think it's March 11th this year that we finally approve our budget. Now, we'll do a lion's share of the work throughout the month of January. But as far as, you know, creating application forms and accompanying documentation in January or even solicit notice of intent letters in February, I don't, if we're worried about the budget, if we're not going to just start our budgeting process by saying, hey, we've decided in our infinite wisdom that we're going to spend $150,000 out of the general fund before we ever talk about anything else, then I don't think we can get anywhere close to approving this. The other one is from a conceptual point of view, while I like a lot that's in here, I would have a lot more comfort if it was administered by some not-for-profit external to the county, and we were simply the funder of it. And I'm absolutely suggesting that that be the Story County Housing Trust Fund Board that would be the developer and administrator of this, and the county would fund it as the county saw fit.
Leanne, can you help me out with this one? Because maybe we're talking about the same thing. I mean, about this. Is this not kind of structured on how we handle the TIF economic development grants right now?
I think the way it would be, the way I would envision kind of operationalizing it is the cities or the applicants, we do it at Romo, they're responsible for listing bids, doing everything that's done for the project. Then they submit a claim, a reimbursement request. So this would operate conceptually, in my mind, in the same way. It would be after the work's done, the materials are submitted for reimbursement.
And I'm suggesting, so that works for me with the TIF dollars, because we have the purview over the TIF dollars. I'm suggesting that this have a different model than that, where we take a step back from it and become the funder of whatever program is put in place. But you want to make a big splash for our new Story County Housing Trust Fund Board? Let them go to every community and say, oh, by the way, we've secured a grant through Story County to do some of this rehabilitation. We'll work with each city individually to get that done. That is the model that would be more appealing to me. Well, again, a lot of the specifics in here, while not completely vetted legally yet, and whether it meets, you know, public purpose of dollars and things like that, they're really appealing to me. I'm just not convinced that Story County government is the right place to house a program like this.
What about housing the pilot part of it, though? Because I heard Brenda say that the trust fund is in no shape, is in no level of formation to be able to do something like this for at least a year or a year and a half, maybe. Is that an accurate interpretation, Brenda?
We're getting your exercise today, Brenda.
I know. Sorry about that.
I would say, Brenda Dreyer, Ames Economic Development Commission, I love to think about where our housing trust fund is going to be in a few years. I've had an opportunity to be a part of some real dynamic housing trust funds, and I don't know that I saw the most latest draft from legal yet, but I think the focus here is on new creation and new housing units, which are important to this county. And right now, our initial plans as a trust fund are to focus on the existing housing stock in terms of putting people into more affordable rentals and rehabilitation. So at some point in time, I do see that this could be an excellent complement
to us moving forward so that we can support the creation of new and the rehabilitation of existing and making existing more affordable. So I would say, I think long term, I think that's a great plan, and I would say that our hope, I'll speak for myself, would be that this group would be so good at leveraging the dollars that we have to be able to go out and seek private private donations and public dollars and grant funds to grow a trust fund. Right now, we are really obligated for a period of 2 years to have Polk County administer this. And so to bring additional dollars into our fund right now, beyond just the IFA dollars, I would probably hesitate just because they do collect an administrative fee based on the dollars they're administering. So at least for a lot of reasons, I'd say we better just focus on getting really good at figuring out how we award those IFA contributions. But at some point in time, I think it makes perfect sense.
But ultimately, you would see a program like this as fitting.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd say, we've made a stance as a board that we are not going to do direct grants and work individually with folks, that we're going to work through partner organizations to award through there.
So Mike Lane was talking about with the cities.
We absolutely included cities even on the rehabilitation.
Well, so I'd rather do it right than do it fast. And so if you're saying that we can't do it fast through Story County Housing Trust Fund Board, that doesn't bother me at all.
It bothers me greatly. The need is out there now. The county for all, and I'm going to rephrase this. All right. Since I came to the county in 2002, I have heard a variety of entities, private, public, governmental units, et cetera, who have all said we have got to do more to address our housing issues. Back then, when I came in 2002, it was more directed on affordable housing, with affordable meaning low and moderate income, low income housing. Okay, we now hear from the various economic development groups in the county that it's needed. We hear from the communities themselves that we need to do something now. We've got reduced enrollments in the outlying schools for the most part. Okay, so that's a factor to come in, and the only way to fix that is create housing, and then it's up to them to go ahead and attract those students, hopefully families with students. We know the need is out there, and the thing about this program and how we worked so hard to create the pilot of it was that it didn't take a lot of paperwork on our part. It does not take a lot of does not set really a lot of layers of rules, etc. But the housing need is now, and kicking the can down, that's another phrase you used more than once, Rick, to kick the can down the road for 2 years just because your ideal long-term administrative setup is not available now.
That's not what I said.
Okay, so then help me, because I'm not understanding what you're saying.
I said I would rather do it right than do it fast, and I think everything you've seen from me over the last 8 years shows that I am ultra-patient at trying to get things done correctly. Look at the C2C plan. Look at budget. I didn't come in and on day one we balanced the budget. We went through my first 3 years without a balanced budget. I didn't like that very much, but I recognize that you take one step at a time and you get there, and you aren't the kitten chasing the laser pointer around because something's shiny. You say, no, we need to set this up the right way. We need to set it up in a way that's sustainable. We need to not blow up our budget in doing it. But in no way did I suggest kicking the can down the road. I like a lot of the concepts in here. I'm anxious to see if they pass legal muster in terms of what we can do, and I'm really excited about putting something together. But we don't have the fiscal capacity to do this right now. We don't have a structure in place that allows us to do this. And one more point. If we have a project, COLO keeps talking about housing. Marty, you, I know, have been dealing with COLO and the possibilities of their housing. There is nothing that prevents any one of our municipalities from coming forward to us and saying, hey, we have this possible project. we need the county to support us in this project. We don't need a pilot project to do that. We need our municipality to come forward and say, hey, we need help in this, and we can do that right now.
How, help me with the last, envision how that carries out if all of them come forward based upon the budget that you had said. Okay, and then how do we make that, thanks, Leanne, okay, and how do we go ahead and exercise that with some kind of fairness and some kind of basic guidelines, all right, if this comes on a case-by-case basis? I'm just asking, how do you envision that?
And I would say that's our job. That right there is our job. Somebody makes a request of us, and we evaluate it based on the merits, based on the fairness, based on the positive or potential negative impact to Story County. And there's nothing that precludes that us from doing that today.
We do this. Lucy Martin came to us and asked $20,000 for scanners for her department to take into account coming Iowa code in 2018. We had the dollars to do it. Sheriff Fitzgerald came to us needing positions on his jail road deputy staff. Substantial hit to the general fund on an ongoing basis. In addition to that, I'm trying to check down a list of where we have these one-time asks, but some aren't just one-time asks. Take into account what we did on behalf of those 200 acres virtually of the Army Corps ground. We have, you know, when you take into the totality of what we've done with our general fund, those are all general fund dollars that we expended on, not on a planning basis. We didn't do that in January, February, March. They came to us afterwards. Mm-hmm. I start from the fact, great conceptual. I'm the guy out there with you, looking at this stuff, talking to these people, saying, I can envision that, I see that. But when I get to the part of this document, I see $150,000, I can't hit the brake pedal fast enough because I ask you, where are you going to get that?
So you're saying rather than budget up front for a set amount.
We haven't even budgeted yet. I would talk to you on the process of the fact that, tell me what it looks like on the backside of the budgeting that we were about to start.
Okay. Let's say that we don't make a commitment at all to a dollar amount. All right. Until after, or until during the budgeting process, and that's what I'm asking.
No, right? I think I see where you're going.
Okay, so that there's dollars in dedicated that we say, as we certify the budget, that there's X number of dollars that we're going to use to help our communities if they come forward with housing requests. So I'm taking what you were talking about.
Like the facade grant.
Okay. All right, so there's X number of dollars available, and we wait until the communities come forward. All right, so there would be, so you're still talking about, there would be some, possibly, as we go through the budgeting process, we would enter into fiscal year 19 knowing that there were dollars set aside that if communities came to ask us for those dollars, and they would now know that these dollars are available. I don't know, Marty, in your conversations with some of the smaller communities in the eastern part of the state, if they're aware that there would be dollars for housing programs.
I don't think that they're having any more discussions than the fact that you're trying to conceptually envision what could be, who would do it, and the timeline it would take to do it.
Okay. Colo is viewing Story County as a potential partner in their
Ted turned to me last night, and he looked at me like, you got your checkbook with you tonight, Judy? Said nothing to him. Yeah. Because the thing is, the conversation right now with Colo is, in the last 24 hours, is the fact that they are trying to get the engineering to match the dollars available from the developer in the city, because on a bonding basis they only have so much they would have available to provide.
Right.
So as far as us stepping into that conversation, did not offer anything, did you speak to it?
No, but all I'm suggesting is I believe Kohler is viewing Story County as a potential partner.
Their developer, as of last night, gave voice to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Rick, you would prefer that they just come whenever they're ready and ask if we have some money available? I'm asking. I'm not trying to rephrase what you're saying.
I think any time there's something going on in Story County, that one of our municipalities feels like we can be helpful in, they ought to feel secure in coming and asking us. We have multiple of our local not-for-profits that do exactly that.
We just had Story County Hospital was here last month.
I think one of the differences here is that we've never historically participated in housing before. So in bringing forth some type of program, some type of guidelines, all right?
Right, but we had never historically, Loris, participated in Main Street revitalization. We had never historically participated in facade grants. We had never historically used TIF funds. Go back over the last 8 years, the things we've never done historically. It doesn't take a hard and fast program. It takes us indicating, hey, if you've got a project, come tell us about the project and we'll see what we can do. And I'm viewing it different than you. I'm viewing this much more like the facade grant, and that is, if there are available dollars, then we pass those on, potentially on, to our communities. I'm viewing it the same way, rather than bogging down our budget, which is going to be really tight this year, Morris. I mean, I've seen some of the requests. There's going to be some major cuts that are going to have to be made if we're going to get anywhere close to balance. And throwing in an additional $150,000, which I know you say is not a lot of money, it's a lot of money to me.
So, okay. I'm glad to hear that you're comparing this to the facade grant and to our technical grants, et cetera. All right. Because I was worried we were talking about there was going to be no framework at all or no kind of uniform notice to communities that, hey, we are now interested in this and we only have X number of dollars to put to for this year and it may not be available next year because we approve year by year whether there's money available for facade, et cetera.
No. But we do that within the fiscal year that we're in, and we do it out of savings that we have because we allow ourselves the flexibility to say, if we're having a great budget year, absolutely, we're going to participate in any of this. And if we're not having a great budget year, we're going to pull everything. We don't want to go back to the days where employees don't get raises, and we've got a $150,000 leak in the roof above the auditor's office for 5 years. We don't want to go back to those days, and if we're not going to go back to those days, it's going to be because we're going to watch the budget close.
Okay, so as I said, the dollar amount would be something we wouldn't commit to at all. But asking legal to go forward with the concepts of the type of properties eligible, or et cetera.
Well, I would like to know what would be a legal use of funds, and I think Ethan's digging into that right now.
Okay,
what's acceptable and what's not.
Okay, super. So that's good. All right. And then if there are funds available, would we put a dollar line amount there, just to clarify, dollar amount line amount as in the March certification, or are you suggesting we wait all the way till next January?
Well, now you're doing budget conversations. I would say that if you want to talk about putting a dollar amount, I mean, we've talked about it before as a swag amount. If you want to talk about putting a dollar amount in, I would say put it in, but it needs to be part. It doesn't happen in December. It happens in January, February, ultimately March 11th.
All right, okay. So then I think we're all on the basic same for today here, is interested in legal determining whether, in fact, what is even laid out in this document as presented, it would be legally feasible. All right, that's a place to start. And then taking the dollar amount out of this document, because that's the conversation to have
when we know
we have funds, which is as we head into certification in March, correct?
Yeah, so I'm viewing this as, forget about taking dollar amounts out of this document. This document and concept, in my mind, gets referred to legal for legal to tell us what in here is legal and what is not legal. And then it becomes strictly a budget conversation that we have in January and February, up to including March. And then once we know what the budget looks like, then we can go back and build whatever's legal and appropriate, whatever fits in with the dollar amount, we can build that. And if you want to start with this document to build whatever new, great. But for me, this document, I mean, other than to say legal, we want you to look into these concepts. I think that's all we're coming out with today.
Okay.
Just
just for my clarity and edification.
Yep.
So we would be not the administrator of this, or we would be a funder of this.
Yeah, because we and Lip kind of left that.
Yeah, we kind of, okay, it's just like, because where we started, we did not want to be the administrator. Mm-hmm. Now I think we ended it as we would be the administrator because we would bring them to us. So I'm looking for...
Yeah, so where. What I indicated was my preference would be that we not be the administrator of this program, but I think it was pointed out to us, if we're going to do it anytime in the near future, we're going to have to be the administrator of it. And so then it becomes a function of how much, if any, and what are the parameters. Right?
And that's done up here.
That's done up. It was done first in the budgeting process, and then if there's any dollars in the budget, you know, if we have $10,000 or $20,000 to spend on this, let's say, then we would need to build exactly what the process would be to utilize those dollars.
Okay.
So I'm doing no action here. We've got a very clear referral. If somebody wants to make a motion, they can. Otherwise, we'll just let that die for lack of a motion.
I move we refer this to legal
for review. I would second that.
Motion and second. Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Thank you. Next is discussion consideration of enhancements to software being used within Story County. Barb.
Hey, Barb.
Morning, Barb. Or good afternoon, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to sign this one when you get a chance.
Oh, Board. Barb Steinbach, Information Technology. I was hoping you wanted to take a break.
We take a break if you want.
Yeah,
you want to take a 5-minute break? 5-minute break. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good recess.
Good suggestion.
There we go. All right. Let's. You ready? All right, Barb, we're to you. We're talking about the security of our software.
Good afternoon, Board. I hate to do this after all of our budget talks, but I'm here to ask for your consent and approval of a contract that ACS has presented us for $21,000 to review and resolve issues with one of the programs being used at the Sheriff's Office.
And let me just stop you right there. So we need to be really cautious here, Board. We need to be really cautious of how we talk this through because we've got a situation that could have some bad ramifications for Story County.
And I want to make it clear that this is not in any way meant to diminish the work that has already been done on the program, but simply to provide necessary enhancements to the flow, eliminate potential risks, make it more efficient, and to bring it up to industry standards. You recall, IT budgeted $5,000 this year to do the initial review, and then I presented these results to the Sheriff's Office last week, and we discussed. They also presented me then with that $21,000 figure for 120 hours to resolve some of the findings of this review. And then the Sheriff's Office went ahead and made some of the changes based on the content of the quote. Unfortunately, there's no guarantee these changes will resolve the issues, and the vendor may have to review what was done, and there could now potentially be more issues and potential risks. I realize that $21,000 might seem like a lot of money to make these program changes, but compared to the work ACS did for us with the CLP software and about $115,000, the rates we pay other vendors to make software enhancements and the reduced risk and peace of mind this will give us, I feel it's well worth the price. Do you have any questions for me?
So this is virtually a $21,000 patch.
Exactly. And we had, John and I discussed maybe even asking the vendor to come in annually and just review to make sure that we're still headed along the right path.
So we will be looking to expend a dollar each year.
Potentially. Backing up. Okay. The vendor you're talking about is the vendor for the $21,000. Okay. What about the original vendor that sold us this software? Why are they not stepping in here?
They're not available.
Which piece of software is this?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Let's be really, really careful. Okay, so we This is a hard one. This is a hard one, Lawrence. Mm-hmm. So the vendor, as I understand it, that originally developed the software is not, in fact, a software developer.
Exactly. It's some training, but it's not that.
So it's kind of self-trained.
Yep.
And tried to and adequately filled a hole that we had in one of our components. And again, I'm being vague intentionally here because this is a tough one, and I'm so glad Jessica Reynolds is here because I'm struggling with how to navigate through this. That individual who developed this piece of software, when they saw the report that we commissioned that came out. They took it upon themselves to go in and make some additional changes to it, which now we don't know what those changes did. We're in a tough position in some Story County-owned software. We're in a tough position in some Story County-owned software that has some vulnerabilities. Maybe I can say it that way. And I'm really reticent to go any further than that because why would we hold up a sign saying, look here?
I got it. Okay. All right. We have a security issue here in part. Okay, got it. I got you. Thank you for that. Okay. Okay. This vendor, as you pointed out, vendor now being the company we're paying to come, proposing.
We paid them $5,000 to come in and review it. The proposal is $21,000 to come in and fix it.
Okay.
And did I hear you say that did not come with a guarantee?
Correct.
Thank you.
John, how vital is this software?
Extremely vital because it does the efficiency as well as just the workload it takes off of staff. When we originally worked with the other agencies to basically put the package that we ended up getting, what was decided on was going with one that was less expensive than the one that we were looking at originally, probably about $800,000 cheaper, and that did have the functions that we need, so we had to come up with those functions ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like this software has grown beyond the ability to maintain it in-house anymore, and we need to look at the security side.
Correct.
It's no longer an access database. It's grown, and they use it every day. So I just, from an IT standpoint, I want to make sure that we do it right and that it's safe and that it follows in line with the principles, you know, that our infrastructure is built on.
Do you know of any other program commercially available that would be comparable?
Well, the $800,000 package that John referred to, and it is a package. This is a component of that huge package that they've taken pieces of and modified to fit Story County's way of doing business.
I believe that the vendor that we paid the $5,000 to, we've used in the past also before, right? We've always had good success with that vendor in a little time. I've been directing reviews to twice already. Okay, but I know from previous. So I'll make the motion that we approve this. I know it's a cost that we hadn't anticipated, but we've... It seems like this is a reputable vendor we've worked with in the past and has produced results for us in the past. So I will make the motion for the approval.
Before we go anywhere near a second, these are general fund dollars, correct?
There are dollars that we're hoping we're going to have savings in IT, but it's probably going to be really, really close as to whether we got to supplement IT's budget to be able to do this. Well, we're going to know more about that as the months go ahead.
Yes.
But it's our hope right now that we're going to be able to do that. Barb does such a great job with her department. But it'll be really, really close. Yes, Marty, the answer is if we approve this, you're committing to finding a way to have it funded, whether it's in savings or we go find dollars. And here's one of those areas where it is so nice that we have given ourselves room to breathe in our budget.
This is... I couldn't ask for a better civics lesson to the folks that will watch this video or are sitting out there listening to this, because the thing is, why did we say the conversation we had on housing is we turn around and this is the housekeeping day to day that comes to us on decisions we have to make to where do we spend our dollars. They are precious, and they need to be husbanded. I will second your motion only because it is the wise thing to do.
Yeah. It'd be a tough deal. Any further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Thank you. Let's get it done as quick as we can get it done.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us for the last.
That's my favorite tie. I love that tie. All right, facilities management. Cal says he can get it done in 3 minutes. Ready, go.
And that clock's accurate.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Welcome to those. Show me Brogdon. Welcome to those.
Yeah. Well, I can do it real quick. I do have some things. I think these are some pretty interesting things we've done in the last quarter I'd like to just mention, since this is my last time up here. Start out with our work orders for the quarter. Administration building, we had 140 work orders and 3 on calls. Group home, 5 work orders, 3 on calls. Conservation, 22 work orders, 0 on calls. Human Service Center, 88 work orders, 6 on calls. Jail, 55 work orders, 11 on calls. Justice Center, 64 work orders, 4 on calls. Animal Control, 7 work orders, 0 on calls. Engineer, 6 work orders, 0 on calls. Total, 387 work orders, 27 on calls. And these don't include our normal day-to-day operations as we do every day at each building. Zero snow days. That's good.
Yay. It's coming.
We're trying to keep a trend there. Charles Bratland retired.
Yes,
I hope you all remember Charles. He always had a smile on his face. He was a wonderful guy to have in the department, and we dearly miss him. We promoted Kevin Warren to night mechanic, and we replaced Kevin Warren with a local person, Danny Harrison, that some of you may know.
Yeah.
And he is our afternoon custodian. We had a sewer check valve replacement at the Calhoun Group Home. That was the original check valve. So we got our money's worth out of that over the years.
Well, yes, we did.
Bid was awarded for the generator at HSC to Harold Pike Construction. We have a hole in the ground, and we have some design issues and some city issues with high voltage power lines coming in there that we are in the process of working out, and hopefully we will move right along.
I would stop you there and tell you that it's just, I appreciate what you did, because you and I had a lot of opportunities to talk about what it is. It's a bullet point on our little presentation here, but there was a lot of work attached to that. Thanks.
We're continuing with our window replacement of Human Service. Panic buttons are active at admin, and I am happy to report that nobody has accidentally pushed a button yet.
It will happen.
Sprinkler inspection completed at administration and Justice Center. New flooring, second floor lobby at HSC. If you haven't been over and seen that yet, please stop over. It looks wonderful. The custodian put a nice wet coat of wax on it. It's beautiful, so please take a look. New flooring at the sheriff's main hallway, that has been completed. I think that was a positive upgrade. New flooring in the visitation hallway, that's something we just come about with. We had extra carpet left over from the Human Service total building recarpet, and we had enough surplus. We did that for just labor, so that was a nice inexpensive improvement for that building that will last for years to come. Assisted the auditor with September and November election supply delivery. Again, thank you for letting us buy the other trailer. That makes it so much easier on the people loading and unloading the equipment, and it works very well as opposed to renting the old U-Hauls that we had to lift stuff up into. So thank you again.
And now if we can just find a place to put the equipment where we don't have to go up and down the elevator, man, then we'd be in great shape.
True. Domestic water booster pump installed at JC, another one that so glad to get that in. We have water pressure that the inmates are enjoying, nice pressured showers now. So, but the whole building is big improvement. Thank you. Geothermal flush at administration. I think I sent you all some pictures of the black that came out of that. So that was
We feel like we got it sealed now, right?
We had a sickness there, and hope we found a cure, and things will be good for a long time to come now.
Hope so.
Change over equipment to snow removal. Replace conservation outside lights with LEDs. That's the Bolliards.
Boys, McFarland Park looking good.
Thank you.
You guys have done a great job, as you do with everything.
We put a test parking lot light up that the innovations and things they're coming out with in LED are just wonderful. This light is down light, so it doesn't affect the astronomers down the road. And also, it's set to a time where after the place is vacated, they dim down even more and they're motion sensored. So if somebody drives in, the lights come up and they go back down. So they're saving energy there also. So very, very nice equipment there. Stain conservation deck that we put in last year looks good. City of Ames transformer maintenance, HSD, we had to shut the power down, put some covers on the hot points. We had a squirrel jump on there earlier this year and shut the building down, so no more squirrel problems there. All exterior windows cleaned at all buildings. Baseboard heat installed in attorney's office at Justice Center, and Jessica just told me they were working great. Everybody's warm, so that was a nice comfort improvement to keep people on task in their jobs. Windows shot out at HSC. Three windows were shot with pellet guns. Right. We don't know who did it. Unfortunate. I don't know how to stop it. All we can do is replace them and hope that's the highest caliber they ever use.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Other than that, that's my final report for my tour of duty in Story County.
Well, Cal, Story County is better because of you, and we're so appreciative of the years you put in. I was fortunate that I was part of the board that was wise enough to name you facilities director when we did, what is that, 5 or 6 years ago, probably?
Yeah.
And you've done as you did before being director, you've done a phenomenal job as director, and you're going to be missed. Now, I'm excited about the guy sitting next to you and what he's going to bring to the position, but we'd really be remiss if we didn't take just a minute and say thank you for, you know, your bubbly personality moving around the hallways. Joy to behold. You're really going to be missed, and just our sincere appreciation for everything you've done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Joby, we're glad you're here, man.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Anything to add from the report Cal just gave, and how are you finding your first couple weeks on the job?
A lot to take in. His report's pretty accurate. You know, just like he kind of pointed out, with the work orders, those are requests that we receive via email. I mean, that's probably, if we started adding up all the actual work orders we do, we'd probably triple that number that represented.
Yeah.
Those are just, like I said, just what different departments.
And in addition to your normal day-to-day work.
Yeah. Yep.
But we have a good crew.
Yep.
Top to bottom.
Outstanding. Good. Any questions or comments?
On the replacing yourself process, because we're going to have to do that, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's, you got Cal, you're part of this.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I would encourage you to hire Will. We consistently have in times past. Don't miss an opportunity to do it again.
Do our best.
Okay. Outstanding. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right. Margaret's going to go some other time because she got Board of Health starting in an hour and 4 minutes. And Barb, while she's here, is going to give us a quick IT.
Yes, I will give you the abbreviated version. Our Steinbeck, Story County IT.
Good afternoon.
So you have a copy of what I submitted. I just wanted to give you a brief update on the website refresh. Friday was our deadline for the layout proposal. Now, the content can change, but the layout is the framework and the structure, and that had to be set in stone because that's what's going to be built on, and that's not flexible. We did decide, I know we liked the McKinney, Texas look, but we also liked Linn County with the 4 mega menus instead of 6. So we did combine government and departments together to just say government, and then we also combined business and visitors to say our community. So we will have 4 mega menus. It'll make it look cleaner and a lot nicer. Our networking projects, I always like to give you an update on that. The E911 network is still where it was last time. And this is, we've got a new 10 gig network we can use, but we're still using the 1 gig because the configuration hasn't been completed. Now, when the 1 gig had a fiber cut this summer, it did fail over, but then it failed back. And ultimately, we'd like to use the 10 gig as our production network and then use the 1 gig as the failover in case the 10 gig gets cut. But ISU is handling that. And this is one of the reasons why the sheriff is really pushing for a 911 network person. We also are involved in the multi-agency server replacement. That's in process. City of Ames controls the budget for multi-agency, so we have to abide by their purchasing policies, which has caused it to move a little slower than we would have liked. Once the servers are purchased and in place, then Joel will assist in getting them configured and set up, and those servers are 6 years old, so they do need to be replaced.
Could I stop you just a minute and go back to the sheriff? We just replaced an employee, right? Over the sheriff's department or for doing all of the IT work for the Justice Center, and the sheriff's asking for another person?
Well, this would be a person that would be dedicated to making sure the 911 network is working. So it's two separate entities. And
that's currently handled by Iowa State University.
Yes, and they changed a lot of the way they're handling their IT staff there. And the person who, according to our 28E agreement, who's supposed to be assisting is just stressed out and doesn't have time and can only offer us a few minutes here and there. So we're looking for a more redundant solution. And that person would then be the backup.
That'd be something we'll discuss later.
Thank
you. Moving on.
Just kind of a heads up there.
When the E911 board gets their presentation next Wednesday from Mission Critical, you're going to start seeing pieces moving in on the technology side, on the new implementation side coming out.
Okay, thank you. Of course, switch replacement was huge. We're at 90% complete. We have an issue with some of the configuration, and it's the layer 3, which means it's the network, the configuration between here and the Justice Center. And we've had IP Pathways here 3 times scratching their heads, and we can't. And now we're at a standstill. We decided to wait till after the holidays. We don't want to be crashing anybody at this time of the year. So hopefully, and they've been working behind the scenes. They do think they've figured out what the issue is, just the missing VLAN. So once we get that in place, we should be good. So I'm crossing my fingers. And then we're also reviewing, doing something different with animal control. If you recall, MediaCom had assigned some papers that they could come into the building and install equipment for free, and then we could be part of their new network. Well, that was 2 years ago, and nothing's happened. So I'm not sure where that's at. I reached out to Windstream, and our rep has left the company, and that rep's helper has left the company. So we really don't have a representative there, and we have to stick with either Windstream or MediaCom in this area.
So call a telephone. We can't.
They're not through there, I don't believe.
They lost some staff, too, but I'm hopeful. They're doing some expansion or trying to expand, so I'm hopeful that they will be able to have something for us. They do have phones with them.
Windstream, right? And I want you to know, Colo Telephone's a mile south of me. Yep. They don't even want to quote me how much it takes to get on.
Really?
Yeah, it's. We'd love to have them, but they have made a real leap out there, but they're really dollar dependent on how much expansion they can do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very good vendor.
And Windstream is their competition. Larry admitted that to me. So
modest competition.
Yes.
So.
The radio project, Marty will probably hear about this on the 911 board too. The IT portion of it is at a standstill until Mission Critical does their presentation. We are going to be more involved this time than we were last time simply because everything's moving more toward IT. There will be servers and there will be switches and there will be a network to support. So I'm not saying we'll do the support, but we'll be part of the configuration and installation. Time card software demo, we're all looking for an opportunity in the future where we're not going to use those pink slips. We were hopeful. Solutions has partnered with a vendor, and they did a demo for us back in October, I believe, and the auditor, HR, and IT sat in on it. We were a little disappointed. It didn't offer a lot of the functionality we were looking for. So they said they're back to the drawing board and they will alert us when they find something else. So, you know, it was worth at least looking at the demo. mobile laptop replacement. If you recall, we had 26 laptops to be deployed. Daryl, our IT staff at the Sheriff's Office, has got 23 of those 26 deployed, and the last three are just, they're waiting on vacations. People are out or, you know, not available to come in. So he's doing a good job. It's been very stressful for him to get those installed and configured correctly. And this is the new hardware for the officers was hard to get used to because it's a different operating system. And, you know, there's a little learning curve there, like, oh, this isn't working. Well, it's because you have to do this kind of thing. So he's done a good job with that. I'm really proud of him. I also just wanted to mention, you may have heard recently we had a faxing issue, and we weren't sure, we did not know this is how it was configured. So the Windstream T1 comes into this building, and then it follows the microwave over to the Justice Center for their faxing capability. Yeah, and that was not documented, and nobody knew about it, but there was a, what's called a tsunami device at the Justice Center. Electronics engineering thought it was struck by lightning. This happened probably 2 months ago, and the first time the faxing went down, we reset the T1 card for Windstream and came back up, and we were good. So the second time it happened, we reset it again. It didn't come back up, so they're thinking it was damaged. So they replaced that, but in the meantime, we got the police radios back up, which were also on that connection. So they were talking to the state, so that was good. So the sheriff's office was able to talk to the state on the radio, but we weren't able to bring faxing back up. And so it was a lot of talking to Black Box, talking to EE, talking to Black Box, finger pointing. We finally got them both in the same room together. We had to purchase two new devices because they're in pairs here and there. And we're going to rent those until April when our contract is up on our T1 to see what options we have available to us then. Maybe COLA will have a better option for us. The only other thing is, and that's what I'm telling people for the budget, for their communication line item, if they want to have faxing and we decide to get rid of this T1, they'll have to bring in POTS lines for each fax line. So that's an additional $50 to $60 a month for something like that. Or we could do internet faxing. The only problem with that is that it requires, most of them require credit card payment unless you have 15 lines. And I'm not sure there'll be 15 people who are willing to, I mean, like planning and development, they got rid of their fax line because they said they don't need it anymore. So that'll be a discussion we'll have in March with the different department heads just to see where we want to go with that. Just wanted to alert you to just two quick other things. Next week I'll be bringing to you a password policy. We've always had the procedure, and it was referenced in our acceptable use policy, but this will be a formal password policy, and I would like you to understand that some of it will have to be redacted simply because it's specific.
You mean we can't just say to the public this is exactly how we build our passwords? That would be a bad thing?
And then we're also going to bring to you some cost comparisons. So we came from LightEdge to Orion for our phones, and I've done a little cost comparison. Paula pulled some numbers from the AS400 for me, and so I want to show you that we're saving some money with Orion. And then also, we are 1 year into our managed print solution. We're going to try to show where the costs are on that. It's going to be difficult because not all of the printers were leased originally. Some of them were owned, and that seemed to be the push to own them. But then we've got the buyout cost, and the ratio will get less as we get further into our five-year contract. But right now, you know, the costs are looking higher because of the buyouts for the managed print solution. But that's some things to look forward to. Hopefully I'll have that done next week.
Perfect. Questions for Mark? Thanks, Mark.
Right now, yeah.
Too,
so get ready for that.
Okay. Cool. Super. Thanks. No other reports today. Public forum number two. Opportunities for members of the public to comment on items not on this agenda. We can't take any action, but we might do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? I actually have one, and Loris, I just need you to clarify for me because it may be something we need to put on a future agenda. Back in July, you committed to Marty and I that you weren't going to meet with staff alone, and it has come to my attention that you're starting to meet with staff alone and offering to meet with staff alone, and I just want to know if you intend to live by the commitment you made in July, or do we need to put that on a future agenda?
My understanding in the commitment, okay, was that because it was to both
protect me and protect the county, correct? Okay. I have begun meeting with staff who have felt comfortable meeting with me alone. So that is correct. All right. We haven't had no problems. So what would you like to do? You were saying that you have an expectation that for the remaining 3 years of my term that I never meet with staff alone. And I've always understood that, by the way, to be in the guise of when we're conducting business, that saying hello to them, talking to them in the restroom. Okay, so I've had one of our direct report staff who has indicated never needing, feeling the need to have that happen. Okay. I have met with another of our direct report staff when it has to do with something affecting that person's performance, you know, or job duties, and feeling that there needs to be there. But I have popped in and out of the office, her office, to provide information to her, updates, to discuss what might be coming, try to keep her apprised, okay? And then the third person, I have not met alone with anybody. Okay, because that, I think, is probably the situation where there's most likely to be a problem. I did not know that I had made that commitment for the rest of the term. I thought I had made that commitment until that I felt comfortable that there would be conversations that would be, I would be respectful to the staff, that I would be, that the staff would be receptive to me.
Yeah, and that is, so I view that conversation as, I recall sitting right here and saying, mm-hmm. Boris, you can either commit to not meeting with staff alone, and it didn't have anything to do with whether they said they were comfortable with you or not, or it didn't have a date certain on it. It wasn't for the rest of your term, or it wasn't for 2 months. It was, Boris, are you willing to commit to taking this action, or do we need to talk about it as a board? And if we need to talk about it as a board, we should. The board has not taken any action on this. This was your commitment, and all I need to know is, I mean, clearly it's bubbling up to me. So,
are you saying it's bubbling up to you as that staff are uncomfortable?
It's bubbling up to me in that it's happening, and is it appropriate that it be happening, and is it their responsibility to find somebody when you want to meet with them? And I don't think it's staff responsibility. I think it's your responsibility. That's my view on it. And today, we can't resolve anything today. Today, what we can resolve is, what was your intent when you made the commitment that you weren't going to meet with staff alone? It wasn't specific staff. It wasn't date certain. It was, what is your commitment? That's what I need to know, because if we need to talk about this as an agenda item where the board can take action, potential action, then we should.
My intent in making the commitment was, as I stated earlier, to make certain that staff was, and I was comfortable and staff was comfortable in that the interactions were positive and moving forward. If there have been complaints about meeting with me because there have been inappropriate comments made by me, and I want to say inappropriate, we discussed inappropriate here, yesterday, we're not talking about a sexual. I never sworn at a staff
absolutely.
Person.
No,
like
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that was my intent to then, when it appeared that I could move forward.
Okay, that's just different than what I understood.
Okay, so would you like to put it on the agenda, and we can discuss if you and Marty want to put a funding.
I just don't want the county to be in illegal jeopardy and know where this came from. This came from a 5-page memo from the county attorney making that recommendation, and that's where you made the commitment based on that recommendation. And we said then, it's a recommendation from our legal counsel saying you're putting the county in legal jeopardy. And we ask you then, are you willing to just do this on your own, or do we need to take action? And you said you were willing to do it on your own, and you're not anymore. Or it appears you're not anymore.
I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, I am not. So, okay. I mean, for me, I thought my relationship with staff was moving forward, but apparently not. So, I mean, I from the expectation for me to spend the next 3 years, not unless there is a specific problem that I need to address, that I don't feel that I have created a risk for the county anymore. But that's why I'm asking for feedback on this.
Okay, well, okay. We'll put it on the agenda and we'll have feedback. Deb, do you have something you would like to add?
I would like to add. I am a staff member who wanted clarification on this. I agree, I think things have improved. And my understanding was this was to go on indefinitely in terms of two staff meeting with Supervisor Olson. I'm a rule follower. I'm good when the rules are clear and the expectations are clear. I was going on based on expectations that were set back in July. I thought those were continued to be the expectations. That's why, Lawrence, when there were times that you needed to talk with me about the transportation, there was about meeting with a public member. I am perfectly fine with talking about those things. And I see the need for good, solid communication. I'm a big supporter of that. I just need to know whether or not those kinds of meetings happen with just the two of us, or if we do need to pull a person in. And that's why I would ask, do we need a third party to sit in on this? And you would say no, and we would go about having the conversation. I just need to know what the expectations are and clarifications going forward. As a staff person, I feel that's very important in going back to how this all came out in terms of protecting you, protecting staff, protecting the county as a whole. I'll follow whatever rules and parameters and expectations there are, but I was just, I wanted to know where things stood and how we were to proceed accordingly. You've met with Alyssa and I on a couple of different occasions to just be brought up to date on things and to enhance that kind of communication. I'm good with that, too. We talked about setting up a standing meeting. I'm good with that, but if that was expected, I'll follow through with that. But I'm one who inquired about it.
Well, and let's just be clear, there are no rules right now, right? It was a recommendation from our county attorney, and when we got that recommendation, the question was simply asked, will you commit to doing this? And at that time, you said yes, and now you're saying no.
I did do that for the period that I understood that we were.
Where did you get this period? I mean, did we talk about a date certain?
No, we did not. Deb, I'm going to need, the board is going to have to make a decision about whether the true expectation is that I'm going to spend the remainder of my term constrained to the point of making me less effective. I appreciate you asking for clarification. Okay? I do not intend, without the board ordering me on because there's only this board only sits for another year. If this board wants to order me to do that, given there have been no problems last July.
There have been no problems. We just had one today where you put the county.
Staff related?
No, no.
Staff related.
But we have continual problems where you overstep your bounds, and the whole thing was based on you creating a hostile work environment and putting the county in real legal jeopardy. But even more important than that, Morris, you sat in that chair and you committed to Marty and I that you would do this, but you only committed in as long as it was convenient for you.
No,
it just shows me what your commitment level is.
Excuse me, okay, on that. First of all, I think that the assertion that I was the only person that has participated that to create this environment that occurred like back in July, I believe you just said to me a couple of weeks ago, you weren't the only person wrong. You said that to me. So now we're going to come back to this issue.
I didn't say that.
We're going to come back to this issue. All right. You two feel that it's in the best interest of Story County to require me to meet with one of my any staff member here and have another staff member present, then go ahead and put it on the agenda. But I caused no problems.
Well, we'll ask Jessica Reynolds to come back and weigh in because she's the one who made the recommendation. So you get flummoxed with this, but
I'm tired of being never being given in this personnel situation the benefit of the doubt. You know, never being given an opportunity to go ahead and try to push. And now I'm going to cry. You guys know I'm a crier. But I do not believe it's in the best interest of this county as long as I treat the staff with respect.
But why didn't you treat the staff with respect for the first 6 months you were here? Why are you still overstepping your authority? We're 11 months in. Of course, I understand it's a steep learning curve, but there's been plenty of time for you to acclimate to what your role and responsibility, and frankly, how to treat people.
I wasn't aware there were any problems with how I am still treating people. I was not aware of that. Alyssa, have you received any complaints in HR? None. Okay, that's the appropriate place to voice if there's a problem with the way I've treated the staff, correct?
There's other appropriate ways to express that. If you're intimidated by somebody who you feel like is going to treat you badly, there's other appropriate ways to express that and things to get expressed.
I cannot be held responsible for another person's feelings or perceptions.
You can be held responsible for your actions and your commitments. And you committed to this board that this would not happen. And now you're reneging on it. You're going back on a commitment you made. You didn't make a commitment that said for a time. You didn't make a commitment that said until I feel better about it. You committed, and now what we're hearing is you're willing to commit as long as it's convenient for you.
No, I'm willing to. I never interpreted that commitment to be as a for the life of my term. So that was okay. So I didn't. So anyway, so that's going to happen. Okay. I mean, it appears it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It appears. I mean, that was the deal. We said that. Either you can commit or the board can talk about it. Well, now you're telling me you were never committed. Okay, liaison assignments, committee meeting updates. Marty.
A really robust Pernal meeting. Kudos to Jerry Moore and his staff of Planning and Zoning. It's nice to see we had several members of the Planning and Zoning Commission want to be informed to an additional degree. And I think the community was extended, you know, we were talking about as far as application for dollars, what the Planning and Zoning Commission was able to tease out of their federal dollars available, but I think the hurdles are such in a negating manner that they probably won't be taking them up, but I still think that we can get to some successful resolutions in their behalf. Had a meeting with Mike Plummerfelt here this past week that I think that as we talk about housing and its opportunities, and we look at the mobile home, manufactured home component of that, that I think that he would be a willing and partner to have a discussion with, as he has his business model is a successful one. He's looking to expand it, and he would like to be brought in on the conversation. So I think that was a positive takeaway, and we had a very far-reaching CICS meeting, which is our regional mental health, as we move to stepping into the new year. We've had an approach by Greene County for an additional partner. That conversation is being had at the admin level. We're sorting through some things. I think that we are also looking forward to very much this seeing the discussion that's had between the county and Mary Greeley as far as the transitional living center. Had an outreach from Second Judicial that the Kurt Forbes Center is going to be closing on a defunding basis and whatnot. I mean, we have issues moving in a way that was not always seemed necessarily good. And thank you to Ron Corbett for coming to the Sheriff's Department. Thank you to the Sheriff's Department for putting on. It was a pretty telling exchange to listen to Bill McCarthy, the Polk County Sheriff, talk to the Story County Sheriff, Paul Fitzgerald, in regards to what our Sheriff's Department do on the inletting of mental health patients as they present through the legal
juvenile or the legal system. Just on an anecdotal basis, Paul McCurdy, and this will come up within another 25 minutes at the Board of Health meeting, but they have one lady in Des Moines that has OD'd on an opiate 29 times this year alone. So just to throw away.
Okay, that's all I got.
Marty, did you attend, you talked about Ron Corbett. What about when Fred Hubble came to do
this? I did not get an invite. No invite, no extension of an invite. I got, this was an outreach from the Sheriff's Department. So I would love to hear what he said, because I suspect that he might be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, just, I didn't get an invite for
either. No, but I know he was in the area, but the thing is, you know, you do what you know about, and I would like to take that opportunity had it been available.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also hit Greg Pruitt in the area, too, out to one of our favorite farmers there this past week.
Oh, I think the most significant thing that I'm working on right now is there have been a variety of discussions about transportation, and I've been in communication with HRDA about some of the transportation requests, and I'll be issuing sending out an email under my own name. Now it will say supervisor in front of it.
Sure.
To recap everything that has occurred to this point, let people know where it appears that they want to head with maybe some transportation studies led by a consultant group for one of our private agencies. Yes?
So we funded half.
Have not looked at that yet.
Good. Thank you. If there's nothing else, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we're adjourned.